Welcome to Grasping the Word 2024. This is our verses for the week of March 10th. Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Very briefly today, I would like to speak with you about speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We notice that this is something that's not referred to as the gift of tongues here, but it is them receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost first, and the response being speaking with another tongue as the Spirit gave them the ability to do it. Acts chapter 2 is the first instance of this ever taking place, but I am thankful that it is not the last instance. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus referred to what was going to happen in Jerusalem and what did happen in Acts 2 as the beginning. He said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which they did after the ascension of Jesus Christ. And it was there that we find that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then our verses of the day took place when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The all referring to a number at this point of about 120 persons, as you can conclude from reading Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And included in that number was not only the apostles, but it was also Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is specifically named as part of that group. So when we look at this, the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost as done by from the very beginning of the church is that in this first recorded use of speaking in tongues in Scripture, its use is as evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence or the first indication that someone has been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Other evidence of Spirit infilling later will be revealed in a person's life, such as the fruit of the Spirit being used in the gifts of the Spirit. But speaking in tongues is actually the first sign or initial evidence of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus clearly stated that speaking in tongues would be a sign that would follow believers in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. When the Holy Ghost fell for the first time on the day of Pentecost, the disciples most definitely spoke in tongues, as Acts chapter 2, verse 4 clearly tells us. Luke, the author of Acts, gave plenty of details of the initial receiving of the Holy Spirit and speaking in another tongue as the initial sign or evidence as the Spirit gave them the utterance. As any writer would know, if you write a story where a common pathway is being taken, the details of that journey would be described the first time the journey would be given. You would not describe the same pathway with all the details the second or third time or so on. You would point out what is unique about each journey that's taken place down the same road. Likewise, Luke gives great detail in Acts chapter 2 with the apostle Peter's answering what meaneth this that was asked in verse 12. Yet Luke specifically includes different people in his Acts account as in the Gentiles of Acts chapter 10 at Cornelius' house. And the 12 men of Ephesus who had been disciples of John in Acts 19, both cases of receiving the Holy Spirit with the same evidence of speaking in another tongue, just as they did in the beginning. Also, we see that this was not only recognized as the sign by Peter, but also in Acts 19 by Paul. Luke effectively established in his writing what the apostolic church viewed as the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. According to Christian historians, this doctrine and experience continued even beyond the time of the apostles. Philip Schaff, well-known church historian and author of the 8-volume work, The History of the Christian Church, asserts, speaking with tongues, however, was not confined to the day of Pentecost. We find traces of it still in the second and third centuries. Book 1, section 55. Augustine, who lived from 354 to 430 AD, wrote, "We still do what the apostles did when they laid hands on the Samaritans and called down the Holy Spirit on them by laying on of hands. It is expected that converts should speak with new tongues." This is recorded in Lives of the Saints by Butler. Speaking in tongues is also well documented among later Christian groups, such as the Anabaptists in the 1500s, the Quakers in the 1600s, the Methodists in the 1700s, the Lutheran and the Irvingites in 1800s, and the Pentecostals in the 1900s. What began on the day of Pentecost, 29 AD, and continues unto this day, God's Spirit is still being poured out upon all flesh.